This is your captain speaking. It's time to take flight with Jada Davis. I'd like to welcome everyone on board. Get ready to navigate the journey of launching your next big idea. This flight is intended for the aspiring or thriving business owner, the person with a really good idea but not sure where to begin, and that person working on a job dreaming of the day that you can work for yourself. We are currently at a cruising altitude. The seatbelt light is turned off, and it's time for you to execute. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Take Flight with Jada Davis, where we navigate the journey of launching your next big idea with me and some of my business besties. So I had to make sure that I brought in this next guest, Brittany, the Millionaire's Book Coach Smith. My secret weapon. Y'all, I've been bringing y'all secret weapons. So I'm hoping y'all paying attention. But as you all know, I have a best-selling book, Don't Let Your Mouth Get You in Trouble, How to Get Out of Your Own Way and Execute. And it would not be possible without Brittany. So Brittany, welcome to Take Flight.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. So, you know, we're getting ready to board and take flight. So I'd love to just give you the opportunity and space to really introduce yourself and tell people who you are and who you serve and what you do.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So I am, which I'm officially now going to be putting the Millionaire's Book Coach in between my first and last name. So I am Brittany, the Millionaire's Book Coach Smith. And my gift to the world is really just working with professionals and leaders and helping them write books that will take their lives and their business to the next level. So I do that all day, every day, whether I write the book for them or I just guide them through writing a best-selling book for themselves. So I'm super, super excited to be here with Jada. She's one of my favorite clients to work with. And we're real life friends now.
Yes, of course. Yes. So I'm glad you're here joining us, man. So we're going to have a little fun first before we get into the business. So I love to ask people, you know, money was no object. You can think about it from the lens of where you currently are in life or where you'll be in life in a few months from now. But if you could go anywhere tomorrow, you going first class, of course, best experience, leaving in the morning, where are you going?
Probably to somebody's island. And honestly, maybe Aruba. I'm trying to think about where is not too far, but far enough. I love the beach. I love the water. I love trees. I'm not an outside person, but if you put me on somebody's resort where it's just first class service on top of getting off the plane, I'm all in. Like, I never want to come home. Just bring the family there.
I love it. I love it. So thinking about on this flight, you going to Aruba, just say you get an opportunity to sit next to anybody, dead or alive. You have an opportunity to ask them questions. Who's sitting next to you and what questions are you going to ask them?
So, you know, because I'm just a little odd, but it's only two people really that pop in my head. And one of those people are Jesus. Like, yes, Lord, I need you to tell me, speak to me like you spoke to Moses. Like, I don't want the parables. I don't want the signs. I want everything. But the other person that I would really sit next to outside of Jesus is Usher. Oh my gosh. And you know what? So this is why. So most people who don't know me, they don't know that I am a huge Usher fan. I've been an Usher fan since I was 10 years old. I'm 35 now. And when I look at Usher's career, I was watching a concert on TV maybe a week ago, the one he did, I think it was called Dreamville. And this man, he performed like the old school songs. He was performing the same way he was performing 20, 30 years ago. And I looked it up and Usher is like in his mid 40s. And I was kind of surprised because I've been to so many concerts and the level of the performance that he gives. I really want to know, how do you do this, Usher? Like, how do you still give the same energy as a 40-something-year-old that you were giving when you were 19, when you were 15? Like, how do you still, because a lot of the work that we do, we're trying to capture our audience. And not only are we trying to capture our audience, but we want to keep them. We want them to be long fans of ours, to always tell people about what we have going on. And I feel like Usher has mastered that, because once you are an Usher fan,
yeah,
anybody that's like, oh, I'm not messing with Usher anymore. So I really want to know his secrets. And I feel like even though it's he's a musician, business-wise, for you to still be on top, like right now you're doing a Vegas residency, you gotta be doing something right. And I want to know.
Absolutely. No, that's a good example. I love that, because yeah, music is a business. Being an artist is a business. Being an entertainer, there's business structure along every industry. So I love it. And I think there's also a lot of opportunity to really learn and grow from other industry leaders, whatever their lane is, whether it's creative, performing, being a book coach, you know, being a chef or beautician. I think there's a lot of things we can learn from each other. So that's also why I really love bringing guests on like yourself to really leverage your experience and expertise and share it with the world. So, you know, thinking about an Usher, someone that started his career very early and really just moving throughout, like you said, all the way now to a Vegas residency. He started early, like as a young person. So like, what did you want to be when you were growing up? Baby, listen, this is life. We live in, okay. It's all good.
My baby came home and he's like, no, I'm going to speak to mommy when I come home.
Absolutely.
Hold on.
Okay. Listen, we are living life. Life is happening for everybody. Hey, baby. And you got a birthday coming up. And
tomorrow.
So we completely understand. Absolutely.
She will be two. I think when I met you, I was pregnant with her.
Yeah.
Okay. Look. So. Thank God for edits. He could have just took her to the playground.
No, it's all good. So thinking about, to segue from Usher, who started early in his career, you know, thinking as early as you can think back to, what'd you want to be when you were growing up?
I wanted to be an attorney. So now I don't know anything really, like I wasn't like watching Law and Order or anything like that. But my grandmother said, you can talk yourself out of anything. So I just said, and then she said, because of that, you should be an attorney. So I didn't do any research as far as, she told me this and I was like in middle school. I just rolled with it. I just told everyone, I'm going to be an attorney.
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm going to do. So when I was in high school, I took like a law studies class. I took things that talked about, you know, crime and things like that, because I said, this is what I'm going to do. And I enjoyed it. So it wasn't like I got into it and I was like, oh my gosh, I hate this.
Right.
But obviously, even when I was graduating, my mom said, oh, you should be a business attorney, not just any attorney, but be a business attorney. And I said, okay, sure. I'll be a business attorney when I get to school. And that was what I wanted to be for. Obviously.
Wow. I love it. But guess what though? I'm sure that there's an attorney skills in you in the work that you're doing. Cause I mean, you're dealing with words and publishing and documents. So let's talk about it. Tell the people that are listening, you know, about the services that you offer and how you can help them. You know, I know that I always say that there's a book inside of everyone. I love hearing stories. I'm really big with storytelling and writing myself. So learning more about other people's journeys and stories and how they're able to put it into a book is fascinating for me. So I was excited to work with you. So let's hear it. What do you do and who do you help?
Okay. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, most of the people that I help they're either entrepreneurs or they're leaders in their field. And so they don't want to necessarily write a book because, oh, it's fun. And I just want to become an author, live my dream of being an author. Like those are not my people. My people are the ones that want to become bestsellers because they want to increase their influence. So they want to write a book like you. Like, you know, you're teaching people things in your book, and that's what they want to do. They want to take the information that they have, put it in something compact, and say, you can use this information to get to the next level in your life, and then come find me after so I can help you go even further. So when it comes to those types of people and those types of books, there's three different ways that I help people. Like, I help them just get started with writing, because everybody doesn't need a coach to work with them on every chapter or to tell them, hey, don't use this language if you don't want to be arrested or want somebody calling you about defamation of character. So I do the helping you get started. Then I also offer a program where I write the book with them, but, you know, they're doing the writing. I'm just being a stalker and reading the book as they're writing it so that I can tell them, you know, go into detail a little more here, or you might be rambling here, because really the purpose of that is accountability. It's helping them like manage their schedule. And it's also to make the editing process easier. Like, I don't know if you remember your editing process, but most people hate it.
Yeah. I thought with the editing process, I thought I did a pretty good job at first. Right. So then I'm like, wait, I need some work. So it is a character builder. Okay. For sure. So take us back to before you got to being in the publishing and copy editing business. Where'd you get your foundation?
I was honestly probably in high school. I wrote my first book in high school. And it wasn't a book, obviously, that I published or anything, but it was something that one day I said, oh, I'm going to write a book with my friends. And we would pass the book around and write chapters into the book. And so, wanting to be an attorney or not, I knew that I was good with words. I've always been great with words. I've always been great with writing. Like, if I don't score high on anything else, I'll score high there. So when I went to college, after the dreams of being an attorney and the dreams of being a chemical engineer went very far out the window, I asked myself, what was I good at? And it turned out that I was amazing at English. So I majored in English. And, you know, as an English major, all you do is write. All you do is write. So from that time, like, I've been a teacher. I was an English teacher. I taught in China. I taught writing in China. And just doing that, I said one day, I'm going to write a book. So in 2014, like, I wrote my own first book that I published. And honestly, after I wrote the book, everyone just started coming to me like, hey, can you help me write a book too? Mm-hmm. And then knowing that I was an English major, can you help me edit my pages and stuff? And I just did it for free. I was like, sure. Yeah, girl, I was crazy back then. I know what I was like, sure. Yeah. You just do this, that, and the other.
But you know how I feel about that.
Right. I should have been, you listen, this book was needed in my life 10 years ago. So yeah. It wasn't until I said, you know, I had got married and I said, I don't want to be a teacher anymore. I want to like have my own business, because when I start a family, I want the flexibility of traveling to Aruba when I feel like it, not having to get approval from anybody to tell me, no, I'm sorry, you can't take the time off. And that was when I got serious and said, wait a minute, people be asking me to edit their stuff and help them write books. They gonna have to start paying me for this. And that was really how that happened.
I love it. I love the journey. So thank you for walking us through that. So, you know what I talk about in my book, I talk about how it's okay to change your mind. It's okay if you do a thing and decide that that's not the direction you want to go in, which you did throughout your career. Because I'm like, then you threw in chemical engineering. I mean, so you already have experience doing that. So I'd love to know from a business standpoint, if it applies, tell me about a business idea or an actual business that you
actually went ahead on and implemented that didn't work out?
I was, what didn't work out? So many things. One thing I think, so it's weird that this didn't work out. Last year, the first time I did the 3-day workshop in person, that worked out fine. It was perfect. But then the second time I did it, I didn't want to do it in person anymore. I just was like, oh, people keep asking, so I'll just do it virtually. And I did it virtually and it did not work out. Only one person decided to attend. Well, two people were going to attend and one person just didn't show up when it was like, I don't know how you pay your money and don't show up to something, but she didn't show up. And the second person ended up having a medical emergency, like with her eyes, in the middle of day one. So could not complete it. And after it was over, I sat down and I thought to myself, first of all, it was so difficult for whatever reason this time around getting people to sign up. And then when it came time, one person just didn't show up and the other person can't see now. So I'm just here, literally like, what happened? And I was talking to my mentor about it. And she asked me something that I wouldn't even have thought to ask myself. She said, did you really want to do it?
Ooh.
And I was like, no, I did not. I just did it because I thought that it was something I had to do because I, you know, sometimes we get caught up in people asking us for a service and we think, oh, but people are asking, I have to do it. But it was completely out of alignment for what I wanted to do with my time and what I wanted to do with my year. And it did not, it ended up being a complete waste of time, like traveling to the location so my background could be nice. Everything that I did to put into place, even though it was virtual, it just was, it was a lesson. So I won't say it was a waste of time, but it taught me this year that if I am not 100% aligned, like if I don't want to do something, I'm not even going to attempt it because I know it's not going to work out.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to piggyback off of the fact that you mentioned earlier that if given the option, you would sit next to Jesus. So let's talk about how with your, you know, with alignment and your faith and how that's impacted the way in which you operate in your business.
I feel like with the way that I think my relationship with God works is even if it's not something easy, if it is something that I'm supposed to be doing, then it happens in a way where it just flows. You know, it may be, the waters may be a little rough, but things seem to line up. And as we know, you may not come when you want him to. So in the 11th hour, sometimes the help that I need may show up or the resources may show up. And it just flows. And I'm always reminded that what I'm called to do isn't supposed to be this hard. It's not supposed to be an extremely difficult thing. Like we are supposed to live a life of ease and abundance. And we work hard, of course, at our gifts, but ease and abundance is not the struggle bus. The struggle bus is when we're technically trying to force a will on that doesn't belong. And because we can get so caught up in what the world is doing and the people around us and what they're saying and what we see other people doing, I am guilty of forgetting to do what God told me to do. Man. You know, like I would love to create all types of events. I have a mind that thinks of all kinds of like, I could do this special event. I could do this special program. I could do this. I could do that. But God is very clear that in this year of 2024, you need to do these three things and go on about your business.
No, that's real. Like, yeah, that alignment is so important. I think that's also the season that I'm in too. I have been for a little minute, but I've been even more intentional about it. I've been saying, you know, I'm an idea factory. My mind explodes with ideas all the time. As you were talking, already thought of something else to do. That now, do I need to do it is a question that we will discuss later. But I definitely thought about it because I was sitting here thinking how I want to tap into school, colleges and universities and potentially high schools for my book and to get it in front of them for young entrepreneurs. And I was like, oh, wow, wouldn't it be cool if like they could write a book together on whatever business or hustle or lane they in as you're talking about your friend. I'm like, girl, don't you put nothing else on your plate. Okay. So I get it. Thank you, Lord. I needed that. Thank you for that. Get me together. Okay. So I would love for you to speak to the listener. Just like, Jada, I hear you say there's a book inside of all of us and you've mentioned to me and I've heard other people say before, I want to write, you know, that I should write a book. And maybe I've even said to myself, I have something to say. I want to write a book. And just from the perspective of, you know, you being in the industry, publishing, editing, what are some things you would say to people that are just like, I want to get started, but where do I begin?
The first place that you want to begin, of course, is just brainstorm. You know, we overlook it. We think that it's just, oh, I already know what I want to talk about. But when we brainstorm, by brainstorm, I mean, pull out a piece of paper and a pen and start writing stuff down. Just whatever it is that's in your mind about, do I want to talk about these things? Or I think I want to talk about this. Like, what, it doesn't have to make sense. Whatever it is, put it on paper. Because when you put it on paper, two things happen. One, you clear up space in your brain to actually think about other stuff. Like, how many times have we been thinking, I need to do this, I need to do this. But then we have this thought of something else that keeps reminding us. And it's not until we do that thought that we can totally invest in this. Brainstorming is the same thing. Once you get those thoughts out, you'd be surprised how many other thoughts now have room to show up. But when you have it on paper, you're actually able to look at whatever it is that you wrote down. And then you can say to yourself, what was I doing? This ain't no book. Let me go on about my business. Or I can group some of these things together. Like, this is the same as this, or this is related to this. And that is where organization becomes, because you know that I am an advocate. Don't ever come to me talking about you writing a book if you don't do an outline. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to say I can't talk to you until you do your outline. Like, there's nothing to discuss. But brainstorming is the beginning of organizing, because with the brainstorm, that's where you get the information that you want to outline. And people skip it because they're just so anxious to write. To sit down and write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, you know, the outline when I first signed up for with their services and their program. And the outline was, I mean, it exceeded my expectations above and beyond what I would have thought. You know, I'm thinking of outline, some bullet points, a little brief. And, you know, by the end of it, like, you know, I had a blueprint. Mm-hmm. Of really what I needed to guide me to when I sat down. So I was the type of writer that I didn't need help writing. I didn't need you to help write with me. I really needed the organization piece. And I think a lot of people that, especially content creators and creative people, we can write, but it's like, where do we begin? And so if you're listening, you're like, I can write the book. I already know what I want to talk about, but I'm just like, where do I actually begin? Like, which chapter do I go in order? All those things. You want to definitely connect with Brittany, when I tell you life changing, you all have seen the proof. I don't have to go run through it, right? You've seen it. You've seen from the launch of the you know, the pre-orders, the pre-sales to, you know, that was all her strategy and guidance as well, right? And then leaning into then now this year, releasing the audiobook version of that and ebook version and bestseller. So all the things that have come from it and more books to come, right? So yeah, I have plenty to say and do, and I know I have a level of different areas. So I'd love to do another book in the future. It's definitely not on the radar right now.
Right. Stay in your lane now.
Completely. But I do got a question though. So like, I like to embed in here, you know, I'm asking questions for the general public, people I know that are listening, that really are looking for, I need some meat and potatoes, Jade. I really need something to take and move on and implement, very much like my book. But this question is for me. So like, I'm trying to do a children's book.
Okay.
And I want it to be a play off of my existing book. So do you have any children's book specific information you can share with me?
I don't do children's books often.
Right.
But what I can tell you is that you want to figure out your age group.
Okay.
Because and children's age groups are very narrow. They're not like young adult 15 to 25. Okay. They're very narrow because they go by the ability that the reader can read. And so when you figure out your age group, honestly, all you have to do is Google age group and it'll tell you this is how many words this age group reads. So if you're writing a book for, not that you're writing a book for kindergartners, but if you were, their books are really no more than 50 to 100 words. 100 words is a lot for a five-year-old or younger's book. So you want to start there, because once you know the age group, then you know the word count max. That'll tell you what information do I need to pull from my book to put into here. Like, I have all this great information, but if you are writing a book that really should only be 200 words, you got to narrow it down, obviously, but make it also so that there's a mixture when you're writing for kids. Like, you make it so that they can read it, but also they can have context clues so that they can figure out words that they don't know. And then sometimes there are children's books where, like, my daughter, obviously at two, can't read. And so her books are made for me to read to her. It can be like that. So that is really important. And people, because people don't know, like, you just know you want to write a book and you'll say, I'm writing a kid's book. And then you send the book and it's like 500 words. And I'm like, this is actually a book for middle schoolers, but okay.
So got it. Now that's good though. That was one, but that was good. They gave me a lot there. So that's good. So there, I'm sure that someone is, children's books have really been popping up a lot lately for various different reasons, very different. I've seen a lot of like focused conversations on children's books. I'm loving what I'm seeing. I think it's good. The more that we can get children reading, the better. So I thank you for that. Thank you for that nugget, that gem.
I want to get real.
Realer, I should say, because we've been keeping it real as we are at a cruising altitude. So, you know, everyone has had their own situation, their own story, their own struggle, their own things that have happened as we've navigated this thing called life. And a lot of our experiences obviously impact the way we move, whether personally or professionally. Mm-hmm. So I would love to hear from you. What is your, now that you, wherever you are, mentally, physically, in business, however your success looks like for you to now, what is the struggle story behind the success that's gotten to you to where you are now?
How many are there? So when I was maybe, I want to say 2017, I had a complete mental breakdown. Like, it was, and it was honestly nothing going on in my life that should have pointed in the direction of she should really be having a mental breakdown. Like, on the outside, everything looked fine and everything was. And then one day, I don't know, I just literally lost my mind and ended up having to see like an emergency therapist. You know, get prescribed medicine, like to the point where they were like, whatever is going on, whatever anxiety you're having, your emotions, your feelings, like you are not allowed to go back to work. So I couldn't, this was right before Thanksgiving. And I basically was put on leave until like right after my birthday in January. So right after Martin Luther King Day, I was able to return. And who doesn't love being off work? Now, being off work was fine because I got to go to yoga at 9 a.m. during the week. Got to do whatever I want to do. But the struggle came in that I didn't have any money because I wasn't a saver. So it wasn't like I had a rainy day fund. It was basically like, I had money to do whatever I wanted to do. And then I may have a little leftover that I probably wasn't saving. So when you work for these corporate companies or whatever, they don't really like to give you leave and stuff like that. So, you know, I think I was getting paid leave, but it was maybe like 60% of my already very little salary.
Got it.
And then on top of that, it took almost a month for me to just start getting that. And I don't know, honestly, it was nobody but God, but how I survived, because my bills were paid every month. Like I live in an apartment, so the water was covered, but my lights were never turned off. I wasn't traveling that much because I did eventually have to go back to work, but I did still travel a little during that time. And then everything worked out where that was the year that I decided I wanted to go live in China and teach. So everything worked out leading up until the week before I had a flight to leave, and I was able to always pay for whatever I needed. And when I think about where I was then and where I was now, the one thing that that season taught me was that I'll survive anything, because some crazy stuff has happened over the years. But I went to China. I was very successful in China. I flourished. My mental health is, I'm still on Zoloft, but.
That's all right. Whatever you need to do to maintain, honey.
Every day. Yeah. I can't drink the liquor, so hey. But I'm happier than I ever was. Like, I'm not suicidal. I'm not depressed. And I'm just always reminded, I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care when my business things don't work out, when my life things, you know, last year was a tough year for me. And I always say, if I can survive that season where I didn't know how a bill was going to get paid, but somehow it got paid and I still was able to have a good time, I could really survive anything.
Absolutely. Man, you speaking my language right now. No, seriously, you speaking my language right now, because I think that, like I said, everybody has their seasons, right? And the way in which we respond to it and really find the beautiful part of it, like nothing's perfect. We are experiencing loss. A lot of people are grieving. It's just a lot of things happening. But I think, like you did, your same approach, being able to really look back. And so I've been operating in that same spirit of really like gratitude and gratefulness for like where I am today, because I'm always able to reflect back to a moment in which I was like, man, I didn't think I was going to make it, but look at me now. Yeah.
It's a meme that says something like, that situation that you thought was going to take you out. And I think it says, but look at you now, flourishing and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real. That's real. So like, as you've been navigating this business world, so beyond, you know, maybe somebody just doing some freelance work here, they're really trying to structure and grow a business, working with contractors, just like all having systems in place. Do you have any business boundaries that have implemented or know that you need to implement in order to really be successful?
I have contracts in place. Like, I started having contracts in place. This is, I want to say, my third year into business by myself. And I probably started implementing contracts when I learned better. So by the end of my first year. And honestly, because I did have one client that I had to let go of, and the contract was what saved me. And so it's like, and I think you talk about this in your book, it doesn't matter how big or small the work is, make sure you do a contract. And fortunately for me, like, we have an attorney friend who I was like, hey, this is some random contract that I put together based on pieces of something else that I saw from other contracts I've signed. Can you take a look at it? And he was able to walk me, don't do what I did, like, hire a professional, but he was able to walk me through the pieces. Yeah. Sense the pieces that didn't. Like, I mean, he even gave me advice like, don't sign this contract in your name, sign this contract in your business name, because you're liable if something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. So my contracts, that's a boundary. Like, I have clients now that I'm like, I didn't get your contract. Did you get it? You didn't sign it. Mm-hmm. And things are fine, but you don't know. Like, life has taught me that people will change in a heartbeat when things begin to not work out for them. And when you even, like, of course we talk about getting trademarks and our LLCs and things, but you have to have things in place to protect yourself. You absolutely have to, because people will try you.
Mm-hmm. I keep it very simple, saying, documentation beats conversation. Period.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's free. That's free. You can take that one. You can take that one.
And I think when I had to, like, really pull out my contract, it was right around the same time that you were coming out with your book. And I sent over that contract because he was going back and forth with me. And I said, per the contract, X, Y, and Z. And it was nothing. He's like, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say?
No. Yeah, I love it. So as a wife, as a mother, how has that lifestyle really impacted the way that you navigate business too? I would love to, like, hear that, you know, because I know that it takes a lot of logistics and planning and moving things around. Like, we just got to see the baby, you know, so, like, which I love, like, that's real, that's authentic, that's entrepreneurship, right? So I'd love to know just, like, how you've had to shift and change, pivot, and just really handle navigating that.
So I've had to be more flexible than I ever thought in my life. Like, I, you know, being a teacher, and even before I was a teacher, I still worked at a school. And from the time that we go to school, period, we get up at a certain time, we go to school, we go to work at a certain time, we come home, and then we're like, this is my home life. We try not to bring work home, but if we have to, whatever. Getting married didn't really change that, but becoming a mom, she don't care nothing about whatever schedule I created in my head. Nothing about it. And even now that she goes to daycare, I still find myself having to, like, do certain errands during the day so that I'm available at night. So the only person in this house that has a schedule is her. She has a bedtime routine starting from the time she get home and eat dinner until the time we put her to bed. But being a business owner, I know, okay, like, right now is a part of her bedtime routine, so my husband's taking care of her. But we know that this is ease time. Everything else, we just have to be flexible, because at any moment, somebody could call us from the school. They don't, thank God. Any day she could get sick. Like, Sunday, we were like, should we keep her home Monday? But then she ended up being fine. So it was really just being open to being flexible. Like, yeah, I would love to say I get up every morning at this time and I only work from this time to this time and then that's it. But that is not my reality. And it's hard for me because I'm a very structured person.
Yeah. No, I get that. I am happy that I'm able to learn from people like you before my time, right? So before I have my children, before I have my husband, really, I take heed to the relationships that are closest to me. So I'm like, okay, so what do we need to do? Okay, so how should I at least be thinking, right? Knowing that everybody's situation is different. Right. But I love that we are a generation that is more vocal of just, like, here's what's working for me. Here's what's not working. You know, try it. It may work for you type of situation.
It might work today.
Need that. Right. It might not work tomorrow, but love that. Now that's good. So here's a question I like to ask people. And I think because you are a woman of faith, I'm very interested in your answer. How do you want to be remembered?
I really want people to know that. I don't want to say I want people to know that I love people, because that's not true. I don't really like to talk to people that much, but don't remember that. But I do want them to know that I was happy and that I cared about people, which is love. Like, I care about the people that I come in contact with. Like, I really genuinely want to see people win. Like, I want them to know Brittany may not have been the person that I can call and stay on the phone and vent for hours and hours. But if I need her, she's there. Like that, like, you know, we get in trouble for our Capricornness.
Yes.
But I want them to I want them to love that about me, to remember that, you know what? I may not like what she said because it was the truth, but it was something that I needed to hear. Like, she was going to keep it real with me. I didn't have to worry about Brittany sugarcoating anything with me because she was going to tell me like I needed to hear it very, mm-hmm. you know, with honey, of course, mm-hmm. but she was going to give it to me straight, like straight, no chaser. Mm-hmm. You know, I just.
Correct.
We all want to make a difference, of course, but that's how I want to make a difference. Like, I want them to miss my words because I'm a woman of words. Like, I live by words. I feel like you say what you mean and I don't have to figure out what you're trying to say.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, that's beautiful. And you know, I get it because I'm a Capricorn and they, right. y'all already know, right? Before we get out of here, I would love to, for you to speak to the entrepreneur, the coach, the person that's really looking to be a bestseller. And, you know, I have a book, I have something to say. I'm a thought leader. I'm an expert in my field. I want to write a book. I want it to be a bestseller. What am I supposed to do, Brittany? How can you get me there?
Oh, come find me. Get in contact with me. I mean, I've been doing this full-time for 3 years, but I've been helping people write. I've been writing, helping people write, and I have been editing for 10 years. Wow. And I didn't even realize that I've actually been in this industry that long. So yeah. Obviously you want to work with somebody who knows what they're doing. You want to work with somebody who knows the ins and outs, because when you decide that you want to write a book, there's so much that happens in your mind, because all you know is you just got to get your story out, but you don't know how to get from point A to point B. And when you finish mm-hmm. your draft, you're like, well, what do I do to publish? What do I do to become a bestseller? And to be honest, that not knowing is what's stopping you. Mm-hmm. So if you had the time, the energy, or the desire to Google how to do all of these things, you would have your book by now. But because you probably don't have the time to do it, and you probably don't want to do it because you're out here living your successful life, come find me.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. What do they call it? Shameless plug.
Yes, absolutely. No shame needed. We are plugging here, people. I told you I was bringing my business besties right in front of you, giving you the gems, telling you what to do. I've shown you all, you know, everything that I've done through my book, and I will continue to push it, continue to remind you that from start to finish, this has been a secret weapon of mine, Brittany, the Millionaire's Book Coach Smith. And so I know if you want a bestseller, if you like, I don't have to have a bestseller, Jade, I just need to put a book out. That works too. I'm telling you to work with the expert, because also, as she mentioned, working with her, I was also able to get the publishing done, the design, my book cover. I'm a creative. So my book cover, I was like, oh, I could probably do this. But I was like, I made the decision that I want to focus on revenue generating activities, and I want to hire people that are experts in their lane and let them do what they do while I focus on my craft. And so I wrote the book, handed it over, let her do the editing, I let Brittany and her team make, you know, handle all the publishing and the book cover design and all of that, and really helped me make some magic. So I'm so excited to have you. I thank you again for being here. Where can they find you?
You can find me at themillionairesbookcoach.com. So just make sure you add the S to millionaire. Yeah. And I'm on Instagram as Brittany, the book coach. Brittany, B-R-I-T-T-N-E-Y. Look, if you put A-N-Y, I don't really know who you're going to find. And then, of course, it's Brittany Smith on Facebook.
I will have everything tagged in the description. Listen, this has been amazing. This has been such a fun conversation. Listen, people, if you're listening and you have you like, Jada, I have a business. I want to pivot. I have a business and I don't know what I want to do next, or I'm at a 9-to-5 and I just really want to do something of my own. I'm not sure where to begin. This is the podcast for you. We are taking flight. You also can get my book where you can navigate the journey to your next big idea. So until next time, people, later. Bye. Thank you. Thank you.